The date is April 19th, 2021, and I don't know about you, but I want to rock. And that's why you're getting a brand new episode of The Other Side, the official podcast of the finest comedy club in all the land, the DC Improv. I'm your host, Chris White. You might have heard by now, the DC Improv is back in business. Yes, we are reopened for live entertainment after more than a year. We reopened for live shows April 15th, and quite frankly, it's going amazing. If you haven't already been, you're missing out. At this point, you're probably asking, Chris, who's coming to the DC Improv? Well, I'll tell you. If you come this week, April 22nd to the 24th, we've got Christian Finnegan. We interviewed him on the podcast about a week and a half ago. If you come April 29th to May 1st, we've got Steve Byrne. We interviewed him on the podcast about a week and a half ago. And May 6th through the 8th, we've got Jordan Rock, and we're going to interview him on the podcast right now. Jordan Rock is an outstanding young comedian. He first headlined the DC Improv back for our 25th anniversary celebration. Part of our Next Wave series, he headlined the lounge as we were profiling up-and-coming rising stars in the comedy world. Since then, he's been back a couple times, headlining our main showroom. You also may have seen him if you ever came to see Tony Rock. He often performs on shows with Tony. Yes, if you're wondering, Jordan Rock, that sounds like a famous last name. His brothers, Chris Rock and Tony Rock. Jordan has got the famous name. He's got all the talent in the world. And he joins us now via Zoom. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm living, man. I'm living.
You're living. That's the best answer I've ever heard. As it beats the alternative, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's all I can say. I'm in the middle of everything.
Yeah. You know, we got to see you. It hasn't been a whole year since we've seen you because you did pop on screen for one of our virtual showroom shows. So it was cool to see you then. But it's just not the same. We want to see you in person.
Yeah, it's not the same. Zoom shows were fun for a second, and then I guess I started a Zoom show probably in March, April, like April-ish. And I did it once a week until like June, July, August. And I was like, yeah, I can't just do this. I was like, this is enough. I need to love myself.
Take a little
other things going on besides comedy.
Yeah. You know what? That's an interesting attitude because some people have definitely had the approach of I'm going to still try to hit it every week as many things times as I possibly can. Other people have been like, I'm going to step back, maybe just refocus a little bit on some other stuff. What was your year like?
My year was actually really good because I was focused on writing, like actually writing long form things. So I did a lot of that and I got to start taking meetings as a writer instead of just an actor comedian. So even though they were Zoom meetings like this, but they were still meetings. So I'm happy that those happened. You know, that's what I wanted out of last year. And I still got to do that. You know, I just didn't have that, you know, everything in between of just touring all the time and, you know, doing shows every night. But I still feel like I moved the chain appropriately.
So what were you writing? What were you working on? TV shows, movies?
Just some things.
Things that are in development and therefore cannot be discussed. Is that
some things. And and I also had a decent year. I had a movie. I was in Big Time Adolescence with Pete Davidson. That dropped. That was supposed to go to the theaters the week COVID shut everything down. And then it streamed on Hulu. So anytime I was having a bad day, I would go on Hulu. And a movie that I was in that just came out was on like the front screen. So I was like, oh yeah, I don't have to kill people.
And you were basically, some people stuck around in New York, some people stuck around in LA. You wound up back home, right? South Carolina.
Yeah, I went to South Carolina. South Carolina, I always say my joke is that, it was a culture shock because I went from LA, where we believe in COVID, to South Carolina, where they had heard of it, you know? It didn't really go off the same.
What was the situation? Were you staying with your mom or were you?
Yeah, I was with my mom. I went into a small room and I just lived. I shipped my car from LA to South Carolina, so I still have my car every day and I would just hang out with my mom.
So was that the room you were in when you were growing up?
No. Unfortunately, it wasn't. We moved out of that house, but okay. it's a nice room, and it's got most of the things that were in my original room.
Does it feel like, I mean, I guess it's got to be, first off, your mom seems cool as hell, so I got to imagine that's pretty fun. But does it feel like, you know, you're what are you, you're still so young.
I'm 30.
You're still so young compared to us. But, you know, 30 years old, back staying home with mom, even though it's a temporary situation, was it like a flashback?
Cool. You know why it was okay? Because it wasn't my fault. Like, if I was back at my mom's place because I fucked up, that would be completely different. But since the world fucked up, it was better.
Was the dynamic the same between you and your mom as it was, say, back in high school? Or I mean, I know sometimes your mom's always your mom, no matter how old you are. But
I always tell people, I was kind of like a wild kid in high school. Like, so I had rules at the beginning, but like, I was so wild that me and my mom used to beef all the time. And then I got expelled in 11th grade. And after that, like, we've never had any beef. She's just been like, you know what? Smoke your weed. Do what you do. Just don't, you know. So we've been good. Like, it was actually pretty chill.
Was it just the two of you, or were there other people in the house as well?
No, it was actually just me and my mom.
That's fantastic. Wow. And, I mean, did the brothers stop by? Does the rest of the family stop? Because you guys are a huge family. It's not just
everyone
you.
Everyone came through. My sister got married during – my sister's wedding happened during quarantine. Probably – I'm trying to think when in November.
Was that the tux pic so that was, you put on Instagram? It was you in a tux?
Yep.
Yeah.
My one tux a year. Yeah. So that happened. And, that was the first time I had seen a lot of my brothers – my brother Brian came down for that. I came to New York. I saw my brother Kenny. I saw Chris too when I came to New York because I went and got my mom's car. Who else did I see? I've seen everyone just in scattered places. I've been on the road with Tony a little bit, so yeah. I've seen the family. They haven't come to see mom just because my mom is, you know, she's at risk. Yeah. So they weren't trying to, you know, put her in danger.
So what do you do when you're home? I mean, it's COVID times. You're probably being respectful of your mom, too. You said you're wild. Yeah, like, you like to go out. You like to enjoy life.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. It's been cool. I'm okay because I'm 30 now. So I think I get it. I think I understand what happens. Every summer, they let out a new batch of 18-year-olds and 21-year-olds into the streets. And it's, you know what? It's not my time anymore. It's their time. My nieces and nephews are graduating. It's their time to be in the streets. I was in the streets. I did the streets. I am the streets. I'm sitting down. So
what's your role now? Are you like the grizzled veteran giving tips to your nieces and nephews on how best to enjoy the streets?
No, my nieces and nephews are pretty advanced. They don't need nothing from me. My nieces, see, essentially, like, my nieces don't need anything from me because they're rich kids. So, they're doing rich kid shit. Like, my niece is in school in Paris. They're not. I'm not that uncle yet. Maybe.
Fantastic. I know you also, just from following you online, I know that over the course of your time in South Carolina, you recorded a special, didn't you?
I did. I recorded a nice independent, what is it, a half hour special. It was fun. We're gonna get it edited soon and probably put it out in the summer.
What made you decide to do it? I mean, in the middle of all this, I've talked to a couple of people who have kind of worked on specials or projects or you know, even recordings in the middle of all this when it seems like it's hard to get your reps and stuff. What made you decide to pull the trigger and do it during quarantine times?
I wanted to do it during quarantine just because I needed to do something. And then just watching everything go on, I was like, all right, I could wait until, because before quarantine, I was supposed to actually do a Netflix special. I was supposed to do a quarter special of 15 that Netflix did. We were supposed to do that at the Netflix is a Joke Festival. And that got shut down. And then I just realized, like, yo, I needed to do something. I have to start moving the chain. I have to start putting out material and burning material and building a relationship with the audience. So I had to just do it. I was like, I could wait around. Comics wait around forever. And then, they're 50 and they haven't done anything. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, I'll just go broke and take a bigger risk for a bigger payoff.
Yeah, that's great. So what was the venue for this? It was a place called The Private Shop, right?
The Private Shop.
What is that? And why? I mean, it's not a conventional venue for a stand-up performance. Well, tell me about it.
Well, I like non-conventional stand-up shows. Me and Reg, we do Productively Stoned, and we used to do Productively Stoned instead of places. We're about to do one at The Stand in New York on tomorrow, actually,
420. 420, yeah.
But we started doing pop-ups, and we did pop-ups like in random places. It used to be like underground speakeasy venues and mansions in these places. And I just wanted to do one of those in South Carolina, but different from, not a Productively Stoned show. It still turned out to be a Productively Stoned show, but I just didn't want it to be labeled Productively Stoned. So I met these kids. I'm big into streetwear. I'm big into, you know, just vintage clothing, clothes that have like culture references, you know, like cultural impact, let's put it like that. Clothes that have cultural impact. I'm really into those type of garments and pieces. So anytime I travel, I always try to find that buy sell vintage store that has like the cool sneakers that you could take your stuff that you've worn and get money. And I always try to find those places. And when I got home, I found this shop called The Private Shop. And it was really, when I'm in South Carolina, it was really nowhere to be. Like, people don't care about fashion the way that I care about fashion. Yeah. They're not thinking about business the way that I think about business. And I met these kids, and I just used to just go over there over and over. Like, anytime I wanted to hang out, I would just go hang out with Rico and Drew over at The Private Shop, the owners. And they moved to a bigger venue, like a bigger store. Their store is amazing for South Carolina. It's like two stories, mad open space. And I was just like, yo, I want to do something with you guys. I want to do something here. And yeah, it started with just merch. I had the rap tee, and then I was like, how do I give out the rap tee? How do I make an event? And then it just all spiraled into, okay, I'm going to film this show and I'm going to make it special.
That's fantastic. How much, I mean, since you were local, was it, what was the audience? Was it randos? Was it family? Was it a mix of everything? Was it?
It was a mix of everything. It was a lot of friends of mine, friends of the shop. It's probably about like 30, 40 people inside. And they just standing room. Had Reg hosted it. Mike DeBay, same show that I'm bringing to DC.
City Improv, yep.
Yep. And we just ran it. Everyone did 10. And I did 25 at the end, and we're just going to chop it up and see how it goes.
That's fantastic. I look forward to seeing what you come up with. Let me ask you.
Yes.
Since you're
it's going to drop on IGTV. That's what I'm doing. It's an IGTV special.
Cool. Very good. You mentioned the vintage stuff. Traveling the country the way you have, I got to think that gives you an advantage if you're hunting for this stuff. You've been to a lot of different cities. You work at night, so you can go out during the day and check this shit out. What's like the prize find? What's the crown jewel of Jordan Rock's streetwear collection?
Right now I actually have this next to me. I was wearing this. I love this sweater, and I've been grabbing these everywhere. Anytime I find one, I've just been grabbing them. I'm trying to get it right. This is a old Comic Relief sweater.
Oh my God.
96. It's the 10th anniversary Comic Relief, and it's got, the lineup is insane. Like, it's got Louis Anderson, Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams, Don Rickles, my brother. Like, it's so many people on it. And I found one earlier than this. So I have one that's probably like 91. And it's got Don Rickles, a bunch of comics. So anytime I see old, like vintage crew shirts from, or promo from like sitcoms, I try to grab those all the time.
Do you remember off the top of your head, have you found a spot in D.C. that's good to go shopping for this stuff, to go looking for this stuff?
Not in D.C., but Rotate in Virginia is really good. It used to be, Round 2 used to be the thing in Richmond, but they got looted, and they said.
Happens to the best of us, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't know in D.C. Is it Capital? I don't even know. It's a nice shop in D.C., though, that held me down with some Jordan 1s when I was there. For retail, they held them in the back, not sell them. I wish I could give you guys a shout out right now. Maybe we could put it in post. You could just like put it in, put their logo up.
Easy enough. Let me ask, you're getting out there now. You're doing more dates. You're hitting the road again. And you've been out with Tony as well a little bit. Even just traveling around the country, you've probably gotten a taste of quote unquote back to normal life. In the last year, what have you missed the most about kind of the way things used to be?
I do miss traveling. Like yesterday I had a connecting flight from Atlanta to New York. I could not get a straight flight from Atlanta to New York. I had to go to Miami. I had to go from Atlanta to Miami to fly back to New York. But since I haven't been on a plane in forever, and like I missed traveling, the whole time I was in the airport, I was like, you know, it's not that kind of bad, man. Like I'm in the Miami airport, like, yo, but this is kind of nice, you know? So that's really what I miss, because I miss traveling. I feel the most alive when I'm traveling.
What did you not miss?
What do I not miss? I did not miss bad comedy. That is the craziest thing, is that like, I was like, oh shit, I miss comedy. Comedy's back. And then I go to a show and I'm like, see, this is that fucking bullshit right here, man. Like you risking our lives for this?
So true.
That's the only thing I don't get that. Like, I don't understand. Like, everyone's dying, all comics dying to get back on stage and tell the same jokes. I'm like, you didn't write nothing?
So you mentioned you were working on writing, not just material, but a lot of stuff. How do you keep that in your routine going forward? Because if you're going back to traveling, if you're going back to doing stand-up, you know, it's like all this stuff. They say writing is discipline, right? You got it. You got to stay on it. So how do you take that on yourself to kind of make that part of your regular routine going forward?
Man, I'm trying really, really hard. Because before, when I was running around and traveling all the time, I would use the excuse of being on the road not to work.
Yeah.
Since I'm in a hotel room and I'm going to work later, I'd be like, I don't have to work now. So I'm trying to get rid of that. And now this is the first time in my life I've really had a writing schedule. I always was a guy who was like, I'm just going to dump thoughts. So I wouldn't write for a long time. And then I wouldn't write for like 2 weeks. Then I'd get to the book and I'd just like, boom, like go through a bunch of things. But now I have like a actual routine and I'm working the muscle, and yeah, I just want to make sure I write every single day, even if I get to the page and I go, I am writing today,
that's it. just those words, right?
Yeah. I just need to touch the pen and pad, and I actually have to touch a pen and pad. So I just try to, I don't know, I heard the best thing was Childish Gambino said the best thing. He said, someone asked him, how do you separate when you rap, write TV, or write jokes? And he said, I don't. So that's how I do it. I just don't.
Doesn't matter what you're writing that day, as long as you're writing. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy enough. So I got maybe one or two more questions and then we'll let you go. I asked you what you missed the most. I asked you what you missed the least. What are you working on? Like, I guess new. People are coming to see you May 6th through the 8th at the Improv. I wonder what people are working on, because again, it's like you talk about stand-up. People have been writing stand-up. We don't know what you've been doing. You know, it's like, it's not like clips are all over the place.
I am looking forward to DC. I'm looking forward. This is my second headlining show of the year. I've only been doing 15-minute spots and special. Maybe 20s or 30s with Tone. They've all been going good. I'm just working this year for sure. I'm working on making sure that I write 5 to 10 minutes new every other month.
Yeah.
Every other month, we need 5 to 10 minutes of something fresh, something new. I want to talk about what's going on in my mind. Like, I don't want to have the same like me feel or the showcasey feel that I used to have. Like I said, we're trying to build relationships with audiences now.
Well, now that you said, even like you're 30 or you're retired from the streets. As you said.
I'm not retired. I'm on the bench.
On the bench. You're the sixth man.
I'm the sixth man. I'm like Mello on Trailblazers.
That's,
you know?
It. Yeah. Still a productive contributing member of the team. Yeah. Can blow it up. And
every few nights, I'm going to remind you I'm Mello.
You can take over a game if you need to. But it's, is it a lot of the stuff you talked about? You did talk a little bit about like going out and being out and being social. I mean, what is it, transitioning away from that in your act as well? Or is it kind of,
transitioning away from just being outside?
No, not being outside. I just mean like
the party aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. Just the aspect of kind of being out at night and that sort of stuff.
I don't think so. Yeah. Not yet. We'll just have to see. I haven't thrown away my whole act. There's still about 15 old minutes in there.
They're good, so I'm fine with that.
I even know how my act is going to change in the next 6 months.
Cool. Well, it's always fun to watch. Every time you come to town, it's a little something different.
And last, that's how I try to make it. I try to make it entertain. I try to just have enough new that you can see it over and over again every time.
So this is going to be my last question for you. We do follow you on social. I got to run the social media accounts for the improv. So I've been learning so much from your social media tips that you've been putting on Instagram. JordanRock85843, if you want to see him on Instagram. It's really helped me just change my entire perspective on my job.
Oh, man. I went to the Jake Paul fight this weekend.
Oh, my God.
And
the one they stopped in the first round, is that one?
Yes, that one. Yeah. I was around all the top TikTokers and Instagrammers of the world. And it really made me realize why my Instagram is not what it needs to be. And, it's simple. It's just I don't pull out my phone during the best times of my life. I just love them, you know? I forget to pull out my phone when it's time. And they don't. And I, you know what? And my followers, I feel like my followers, this is funny because I posted on the way to the fight, I posted a picture on my story with me and Pete. And all of his fans come to my page. Like, I get thousands of, like, 100 followers, like, immediately after I post Pete. And I know they're looking for more Pete. But no.
I'm not giving it to
them. You're going to have to see this face. I'm going to disappoint my followers every day with this face. You're not going to see Chris. No, you're not going to see Chris. You're not going to see Pete. You're going to see this face right here.
Nice.
No famous people. Just me.
Let me ask, you're famous-ish.
Heavy on the ish.
I follow so many comedians because of my job. I have to follow so many comedian social accounts, and people have all these different approaches. The one thing I always kind of wonder is that you seem to have some fun on there, but I also kind of wonder when I'm watching your Twitter, your Instagram, whatever, whether you like it, whether you're just kind of like
I hate it. I hate it.
That's what I
fucking hate it, bro.
Like, for some people, it's a part of the job that it's just like, I have to do this. I'm going to do the best I can.
That's really why I haven't started a podcast or anything or do anything like people like daily content. I'm like, yo, if you start it, you got to keep on doing that shit. And I'm like, yo, it looks fun when it's lit. When it's good, when a comedian online is killing it, oh my God, it looks amazing. When the new nigga shows up and they stop watching you, it looks very sad. Just every day, like, it looks very sad. So I don't want to do any, I don't want to start anything I don't want to keep up. And then, you know, look at the Lucas brothers. Look, that's a big inspiration right there. Look at Jermaine, also from DC.
Yeah.
Like, look at Lil Rel. Look at Tiffany Haddish. Remind yourself that it's, you don't have to do that. You can take your time.
Yeah. And just watch the Jake Paul fight. Enjoy the 45 seconds of the Jake Paul fight instead of pulling out your phone to videotape it, right?
Exactly. I'm like, yo, everyone's videotaping this. I'm like, bro, we're like, first off, this is a pay-per-view. Everyone's watching this.
We went to a couple years ago, we went to a Stevie Wonder concert at the Capital One here in DC. And the lady in front of us, we didn't have good seats. We were like, you know, way back. Lady in front of us just held her phone up, videotaped the entire concert from, like, you know, 700 feet from the stage. We're like, well, who the hell is watching this? Who is
doing this? You know what? She might find it later and be like, oh, yeah, I'm happy I saw Stevie Wonder. But that makes sense. It wasn't on pay-per-view, you know? Yeah. Like, if it was on pay-per-view, she could go home and watch it.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we'll fix it. All this social media stuff. We'll have it all sorted out by the time you get here.
I'm gonna figure it out, man. I'm like halfway there. I'm trying to get famous enough to pay somebody to run it for me.
That is probably the best way to approach all.
Yeah,
of this.
I just want to take pictures and be like, yo, put them up whenever I need to go up, post the show. Don't show me nothing.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So May 6th to the 8th, Jordan Rock, Rel, not Rel. Reg Thomas and Michael DeBay, which that was the show last time you were at the lounge too, so it should be a good one. If you get listened to this in time, the show tomorrow's already sold out, right? Productively Stoned
is already sold out, sorry, but we're gonna be back. We might be at the Stand, follow Jordan Rock 843 at Reg Thomas and Productly Stone Comedy.
Yeah,
we're going to be all over the place. We're going to do DC too.
Yeah, cool. Actually, we look forward to it. So, Jordan, thank you for hanging with us. We appreciate it, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Chris.
There you have it. Jordan Rock. Hey, he hates social media, but when he does post, he's very good at it. Check him out on Twitter and Instagram, JordanRock843. JordanRock843. And of course, come check out Jordan's shows at the DC Improv Comedy Club. He's here May 6th through the 8th. He's with feature act Reg Thomas and Michael DeBay, friends of his, part of the Productively Stone crew. They will be showing up as well. They'll be on the show. So, May 6th through the 8th, tickets at dcimprov.com. That is a Thursday through a Saturday with shows at 7 and 9:30 each night. And they are moving. So if you want to go see Jordan, hustle up. Get your tickets ASAP. And of course, while you're at dcimprov.com, check out the rest of our schedule. We've got all kinds of shows on sale through mid-June already. We've got Emmy Blotnick making her DC Improv main showroom debut. We've got Carmen Lynch headlining the DC Improv for the first time. Drew Michael coming through. Will Silvince. Also, some shows that we're doing in conjunction with other places. If you want to do some outdoor comedy, we're doing something May 19th at the Bullpen over by Nationals Park. Information on that also at dcimprov.com. And with all the plugs in, let's take this home. Our thanks to Jordan Rock for taking the time to chat with us. Our thanks to you for taking the time to listen. And hey, we hope to see you at the DC Improv at some point this spring. It's a fun time. It's a good time. It's something we've all needed. It's something we've all missed. But however you are spending your time, we sincerely hope you're spending part of it laughing. Thanks, and we'll see you next time on the other side.